There's Mark.
Welcome, everyone. People are still sneaking in bit by bit, but let's get started. So excited to see all of you today. I see some familiar faces that have been with us for our past Hope Story Circles and a few new faces. It's nice to see you.
What's happening?
If you would mind muting yourself if you're not speaking, that'll make it easier for everyone else to hear. I can mute everyone and then unmute people when it's time. Perhaps that's the best way. All right. So let us begin. I was so delighted to see all of you here today. And where I live in Southern California, it's very hot. It's going to be 94 degrees today. And people are not supposed to go to the beaches in Los Angeles. The beaches in Ventura County and Orange County are open. And our mayor has very respectfully requested that people do not go to those other counties to the beaches. But it's really hot today. So it's going to be challenging for folks to find a different way to manage the heat. So I don't know where all of you are from. You're welcome to put in the chat where you're from. I see a lot of wonderful places and I'm just delighted to see all of you here today. We have a wonderful special guest today. His name is Mark Lesser. Mark is an author, a speaker, a coach, and a teacher. And he is much to offer in terms of authenticity and mindfulness, in particular for leaders. And today, all of us are leaders. So we're very pleased to have Mark join us today. We also have our hosts, Liz Gannon-Graydon, who is our board member and one of our delightful peace voices. And we have Yelena Popovich, who is our Teaching Peace in Schools lead. And she and Yelena and Liz are the hosts for these calls. My name is Terry Mason, I'm on the board and I do manage the technical side of it, but other than this first introduction, I'm not gonna be speaking a lot. So I'm just very delighted to see all of you, thrilled to be here with you, and welcome. So with that, I'm going to unmute Mark and let you begin.
Thank you for unmuting me and thanks for the introduction and good morning, everyone. Let's start by doing a few minutes of being quiet together. Just finding a way, finding and making a conscious choice about how to be here, being kind of committed. I think it takes, during these Zoom calls, it takes some commitment to be really present, to let go of all the other open windows and activities and just be here, making conscious choices about how to place your body, your hands and feet. And to me, this practice, this very simple practice of stopping is both very, very simple and accessible and also profound and mysterious. But starting with the simple of just noticing the body, opening the shoulders, chest, allowing breathing to be full and fluid. And even being curious about the transition from activity to stopping. What is it like? What is it like to stop? Noticing the body and also noticing that breathing is happening. Seeing if it's possible to bring awareness to the breath. So here the simple part is just breathing, just noticing that breathing is happening without us having to do anything. And maybe the more mysterious part is to maybe just give recognition that these breaths right now are unique and new, have never happened before and will never happen again, that there is a complete mystery to what we call time and the present moment. And seeing if it's possible to bring a sense of a curiosity and even some kindness to your breath, your body, yourself. Letting go of judgments and ideas about, am I doing it right or wrong or better? Just let it go, let it all, let those go and just be here with the breath, with the body, curious and kind. So one of the metaphors that I like for this practice is it's like hitting the reset button, a chance to start over, to regain our clarity and strength with every breath, with every exhale. Is it possible to bring your full sincerity to just being here? Noticing what it's like. And allowing your full experience, not trying to change anything or push anything away. What is it like to be here? What is it like to be alive right now? Quietly together for a minute. And then let's all come on back and bring our attention to being here with each other. A little hard to stop. It was really sweet sitting with all of you. Yeah. So I know from talking with Terry and Liz and Yelena and Judy that these last couple of meetings, there's been a story about the is it good or is it bad story, which is essentially, I think it's a very direct response. The question of how do we respond to these most amazing and challenging times that we find ourselves living in. I think it's always amazing and challenging times, but it seems particularly noticeable now with the pandemic and our sheltering in place. And I think the questions of life and death that are much more on the surface now than they tend to be. We're usually pretty good at pushing those things away, especially in the US culture. But I think in general, this time is a time of feeling a sense of our vulnerability and connection. And I was struck by an interview that I heard, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago now. I think it was Terry Gross interviewing Eric Larson, who wrote a book called The Splendid and the Vile. And this book is about another time of great instability and drama. This was the beginning of the early days of World War II, when England was being ravaged by German Air Force. And in this interview, they talk about Winston Churchill's leadership and how Winston Churchill responded to this most challenging, difficult time. And they mention these three leadership lessons that really grabbed me as being completely, I think, pertinent, useful to dealing with change, dealing with how do we respond to difficulty, how do we respond to change, which I think, again, the story of is it good or is it bad, I think maybe sets the table for raising the question of, well, how do we respond when things are most unknown, when things feel bleak, when we're feeling pain and suffering. And I want to just talk really briefly about these three lessons and then see how they might resonate with you in this time in our lives, or I think they're always quite relevant. But the first of these lessons that Churchill talked about was don't sugarcoat, right? Don't sugarcoat. The practice of seeing things just as they are. There's a Zen story that where the question is, what happens when the leaves wither and fall, and the teacher responds to this question, body exposed to the golden wind, body exposed to the golden wind. And I think this is a beautiful image of not sugarcoating, right? Not pushing away how much pain, suffering, death, fear there is, letting that all in. And I think this is actually a key part of meditation practice, which I didn't really do much of this morning, but I think a part of our sitting is to open our hearts and seeing that we can hold a lot more pain, suffering, and difficulty than we generally think we can. We usually, I think, have this image of an unlimited or a limited size of heart, but I think our hearts are incredibly big and elastic, and that I think that's what's required in this first practice. So the first practice, don't sugarcoat. And interestingly enough, I think the second practice is practice cautious optimism. Cautious optimism, which I think is a great, these two in combination, don't sugarcoat and be cautiously optimistic. And this second practice, I think it's worth, you know, just noticing. I think of optimism, or for, you know, we all suffer, we humans suffer from what's called, as you probably know, the negativity bias, right? It's easy, and especially when things are hard, especially when things are unknown, it's easy to go with all of the possible things that can go wrong. And, you know, one of my, I used to teach a lot of meditation at Google. And I became really good friends with a Google scientist who was very fond of saying that we humans are descendants of the nervous apes, right? That the apes who were chill and cool, they all got killed. But our ancestors who were very skilled at scanning for threats, we've inherited their DNA because from an evolutionary perspective, all that matters is that we stay alive and that we pass on our genes. And being fearful is really good for this. And I think this also explains the really strong inner critic that many of us are quite familiar with. It's scanning for those threats inside, right? Making sure we're okay, that inner judge. So practicing cautious optimism is an antidote to that negativity bias and the nervous ape. And the third practice, which I love the way these three go together. The third is to practice engaging in purpose and meaning, right? So don't sugarcoat, be cautiously optimistic, and engage in purpose and meaning. And one of my favorite, I started and ran a greeting card and calendar company called Brush Dance for 15 years. So I'm a bit of a professional quote collector. And one of my favorite quote for this purpose and meaning, my current favorite quote, comes from Shunryu Suzuki, who is a collection that I imagine many of you are familiar with called Zen Mind, Beginner's Mind. In there, in a chapter entitled Generosity, he says, the purpose of our lives is to cross the shore from confusion, from suffering, to awakening and being fully human, being fully alive. So the purpose of our lives is to cross this shore from confusion to being fully awake. And then his next sentence is, and the secret is to realize that we cross that shore with every step we take. Right? The secret is to realize that we cross that shore with every step we take. And I think for me that, I think we all like, or I really like the idea of that. Yeah, the purpose of our lives is to be more clear, is to find a sense of real awakening. But then he kind of pulls the rug out from under us by saying, but there's nothing to look for. That we don't have to look anywhere for meaning and purpose. It's just it's right there. It's right there in every step or in every breath we take. And I think even grounding these practices to meditation practice, I think these are great instructions for meditation, right? So when we sit in our meditation practice, to not sugarcoat, to really let in, whether we're feeling grumpy or we're suffering or we're angry or we're peaceful, enjoy, whatever it is, let it in. And then cautious optimism is pretty good. And then to allow that sense of meaning and purpose. And that there's nothing, the sense that I get from the secret, right? And you could say the secret is to realize that there's nothing lacking. There's nothing lacking, that everything is just the way it's meant to be with every breath we take. It makes me think of, you know, one of my favorite paradoxes that comes up with that third practice is the practice of accept what is and work for change. Accept what is and work for change. And that it's hard to accept what is, right? And again, I think this is a lot like that no sugarcoating and then working for change is this, it takes some optimism. And also I think the more meaning and purpose that we can infuse in working for change, I think the more effective we'll be. So with that, I think I'd like to stop there and suggest that we all take a few minutes just to reflect on these three practices, right? Don't sugarcoat, practice cautious optimism, engage or infuse meaning and purpose, and maybe reflect on them if you have something to write with, maybe do a few minutes of writing. And so let's maybe do that just for a couple of minutes. And then I think Terry is going to use her powers to get us into groups to talk about these, and I'll give some instructions. So maybe I forget how much time we wanted to do this, but let's take, but maybe maybe just 3 minutes. We'll come back in 3 minutes, and then we'll give some instructions about getting into groups.
Thank you, Mark.
We're so on schedule, Terry.
I know, it's crazy.
Okay. So maybe just very briefly for people, like, I guess Peter just came on. I've been talking about these three practices. Don't sugarcoat, cautious optimism, and engage with purpose and meaning. And Terry is going to get us into small groups. I think of three. Three seems to be a good number. And my suggested instructions, which you're welcome to follow or ignore, but you might try follow them, which is when you get into your groups, just very brief introduction so you know each other's names. And then I would suggest practicing what I like to call mindful listening, in which each person will speak and the other two people will listen without asking questions or interrupting. So it's a real listening practice. And we'll do this like for 2.5 minutes each. So you might ask someone to be a timer and be somewhat disciplined. Really don't let people go more than 2.5 minutes. And if the person doesn't have much to say and they run out of something to say in that short amount of time, just sit there quietly. It's okay. And I'd like to encourage us. One is practicing listening, seeing what it's like to not be thinking about what we're gonna say, but to just fully give our attention to the person speaking. And for the person speaking, I would invite you to be as vulnerable and heartfelt as you feel comfortable being. Imagine surprising yourself in what you're going to say. And if you've already prepared what you're going to say, I encourage you to forget about it and be willing to be in the moment, be willing to be surprised, be willing to take the risk of saying something that might surprise you. And with that, so Terry, if we do 2.5 minutes and we're groups of three, that and then we'll take a few minutes after each person in the group speaks, just have an open conversation about how was that? What was it like? What was it like for you to listen? What was it like for you to speak? And we'll have 2.5 minutes for that as well. So we'll come back in 10 minutes and we'll have some time to talk as a group.
It'll actually be about 15 minutes and I'll give you a 2-minute warning so that you know that that's coming. I'm going to send you to the breakout rooms now. For those of you who've done this before, you know how it works. For those who don't, you'll be given an invitation to join a breakout room and go ahead and join it. I might move people around if I see that one room only has one person and one room has four people. I might send a second invitation. So if you get a second invitation, go ahead and accept it. That's a good one. All right. And we're going to go there now.
I heard that, I just figured out how to unmute. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Sorry.
Hello.
We can all hear you.
We can all hear you.
Hi.
I'm back at the main.
Yeah, everyone should be back. I'm going to mute everyone except for Mark.
Well, I think we're all back.
Yes.
Are we here? Yeah. Well, welcome back. We have some time to, if anyone wants to talk about what happened in your group, maybe how you are engaging in any of these practices or anything else. In fact, I just realized I forgot to give the most important instruction, which is the other topic that you could have talked about, which I'm sure you did anyhow, was anything you felt like talking about, anything that was relevant. But curious what came up in your groups or any comment, reflection, or question about these practices or anything else for that matter.
If you'd like to speak, go ahead and unmute yourself, or you can raise your hand by clicking the participants button and I will unmute you.
I see.
Cap, you're unmuted.
It's actually Dave.
I was going to say, you don't look like a Kathy.
Well, you have to be careful, very careful these days. So I didn't want to say anything.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh. Well, I am a Dorothy Day Catholic left peace activist that is supporting the Kings Bay Plowshares who are awaiting sentencing for attacking a submarine base in Georgia. And that's my connection with the peace movement. As a poet and a pianist, I'm very thankful to Mark for the meditative techniques also, and I consider myself a Zen and Sufi. But in our group, we had someone who's actually in Africa, Claudine. So this technique is really amazing. I mean, the COVID confinement is going to bring out some pluses, not just minuses. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks. Yeah, no, I think there will be. There'll probably be some unexpected silver linings that come out of this time. Yeah, there's more. I think right now there may be more conversation, more listening happening than has happened in a long, long time. There's actually something surprisingly intimate about this platform.
I see Tom and Kathy have unmuted yourselves.
Thank you very much. I just want to echo, first of all, thank you for hosting this gathering, and gratitude to everybody who's joined here. Obviously, it shows a love in your heart, a desire to connect with others, and that desire comes from love, in my view. I've posted a few comments in the chat for those of you who may have seen that. But I just want to echo what Mark has said, that his third item about meaning and purpose, I find to be absolutely the most important element in dealing with this calamity. But you know, the fact is, life itself can be difficult, and I have been on the path of searching for the meaning of life all my life, and I find that to be extremely rewarding. So I encourage any and all of you, if you're not considering, you know, why am I here? How does this all work? What's the purpose of my life? I really invite you to consider that, because to me, that has given me some of the greatest fulfillment in my life. Thank you so much for letting me speak.
Thank you for being here.
Thanks, Tom. No, and I think there, love is, you started saying, you talked about the power of love, and there's a beautiful line from a poem by Tony Hoagland where he says, do you remember that time and light are kinds of love? Do you remember that time and light are kinds of love? And love is no less practical than a safe spare tire or a coffee grinder. Yeah. Look up that Tony Hoagland poem. There's another person, you said, Terry?
Yeah.
Hey, Doc?
Yes. And really, thank you for this space. And this is like I was thinking, and when you, in the end of your talk, I went and get some food and drink. And when I back, I was in a room, like I felt like I was in all the session, because it was like to talk from the heart and listen from the heart. And this is what I am doing. And it was like for me opportunity to share with a small group, and also willing to listen to the stories, and also to listen to the tears, and to listen to the grief, and with compassion and patience. And really, thank you. And this is what I want to see in all the world, because I believe any human being in the world, they deserve to live in peace. And thank you.
Thank you very much for that.
Who else would like to share?
Salam alaikum, Itaf.
Hello.
Salam alaikum, Allah Hafiz.
Wa alaikum salam. Wa alaikum salam.
Allah Hafiz.
Thank you. Shukra.
Hello, Terry.
Yes.
Can I speak?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So I'm Juliana from India speaking. And I want to thank you, Mark, for the meditation, because that part, the part where you said this breathing is happening without us having to do anything, you know, and that just made me realize for the first time, actually, it's so funny, though I'm so so old in life, that I am really not doing anything. There is someone controlling it, you know, and it was so beautiful, just that realization. And then also each of those points about don't sugarcoat, let in the pain. I realized that I'm so afraid, you know, to even think about the bad things happening. Like my two daughters, my two children, one son and one daughter, are doctors, like on the COVID, in COVID, on working with COVID patients. And I just don't want to focus just thinking on the bright things and on, you know, putting them safe in God's hands and just hoping in his care and just that positive thing. And even about practicing cautious optimism. I loved that because I realized the need for balance in my life. Sometimes I'm just so spontaneous and need for balance. And about finding purpose and meaning in everything. I loved when you said accept what is. And I don't need to be perfect, but I can just start from where I am. Accepting the good things that are there for me and in me, and making the not so good just go overcoming them as I go along. So thank you, Mark. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Each of these things were very meaningful for me.
Thank you. You know, it's interesting. There are literally thousands of processes that are happening right now in our bodies, in all of us in our bodies, and it's a good thing that we're not in charge. So there's something about. It's interesting that in many spiritual traditions, how much emphasis there is on the breath and using awareness of the breath as a starting, middle, and ending point for meditation and reflection and prayer, and partly because it's always there, and partly because it's a reminder that we are being breathed, right? Our language, our dualistic language says we are breathing, but we know it's not, there's no me, there's no we, breathing is happening. And there's something about that spirit of acceptance and allowance. And I think that's where our intuition and our creativity, I think, grows out of that space, making space for that.
Mark, we have one, Peter has raised his hand to speak, and Peter, I'm going to unmute you just for maybe 1 minute before we close.
Oh, great. Thank you. You know, I joined late and I went right into the group session and had the most just delightful and sweet, what I called a 1-2 hug instead of a 1-2 punch. From Violet and Robbie, and just instantly presence to the moment, which you're talking about there with breath, that breath brings us to the moment, and that my optimism and my hope and my non-sugarcoating all clump together in the realization that it's right here, right? I don't need hope for the future. It's the focus is right now on this breath, seeing and feeling and being the beauty that life is through me. So thank you.
Thanks, Peter.
Thank you. Mark, there's a comment from Deborah Chandler, wanted to know if you have something on leadership written in an article or a book that she could read or you could share.
Well, this would be a great opportunity for me to plug my own book. I have a book called Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader. I actually prefer the subtitle. The subtitle is Lessons from Google and a Zen Monastery Kitchen. But the book is called Seven Practices of a Mindful Leader. There's so much. I'm going to end by reading a short poem. I think what a great opportunity to read poetry these days, whether it's Mary Oliver or whoever your favorite, Antonio Machado is another of my favorite poets. And I'm going to read a poem by William Stafford called You Reading This Be Ready. It's a beautiful poem, and I think, Peter, it's a great add-on to what you were saying. Starting here, what do you want to remember? How sunlight creeps along a shining floor? What scent of old wood hovers? What softened sound from outside fills the air? Will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now? Are you waiting for time to show you some better thoughts? When you turn around, starting here, lift this new glimpse that you found. Carry into evening all that you want from this day. This interval you spent reading or hearing this, keep it for life. What can anyone give you greater than now, starting here, right in this room, when you turn around? Yeah, this line, will you ever bring a better gift for the world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now?
Lovely.
Well, thank you all.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you so much. Thank you. I'm going to unmute everyone. You're welcome to say goodbye. And we will.
Thank you very much.
Next time.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Namaste.
Blessings.
Hi, everyone.
Thank you.
People Skills by Robert Bolton.
Thank you. Thank you for everyone who's put suggestions in.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you. Terry, I just have a question, Terry. Did Mark say then the breathing respect, B-R-E-A-T-H-I-N-G, breathing respect, will you ever bring a better gift to this world than the breathing respect that you carry wherever you go right now?
Yes, exactly.
Was it breathing?
Breathing.
Okay.
Mark, so can you hear me?
Yeah, so how do you mean, Mark? Can you just say a few words what you mean by that breathing respect?
Breathing respect.
Let me look at the exact line again.
Would you come in? We're basically finished, so I don't know how to check out. But
thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to engage in dialogue in your larger community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org.